It's Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, about one in five adults in the United States has a mental illness. In order to continue to bring attention to mental health and fight against the stigma surrounding mental illness, a collaboration of community organizations, health systems, and faith-based groups in Milwaukee are presenting a play called Pieces in My Own Voice.
Written and directed by Brenda Wesley, Pieces portrays the struggles of living with a mental illness and emphasizes the darkness of stigma through spoken word, monologues, music, and dance. The play is the culmination of Mental Health Awareness Day, MKE, tomorrow evening.
Wesley and Pastor Walter Lanier of the Progressive Baptist Church of Milwaukee and Director of the Men of Color Initiative at MATC joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about the play and the issues highlighted by Mental Health Awareness Day. Wesley began by explaining the origins of her play.
The play is based on my personal journey with my son living with a mental illness. He is 39 now, but he was diagnosed with paranoia schizophrenia when he was 21. As I went through this journey with him, I was actually trying to look at a form that I could use to talk about mental illness because of the stigma behind it, and using a platform that I could use that I could reach multiple people to deliver a message of education but also hope. And I actually started a African-American outreach called ASK, Access, Support, and Knowledge, where I went out into my community to talk about mental illness. Started with maybe five people in a group, and then it grew to 15, 20, 25, 30, 100. And then again, using my actual background of how to reach people, again, to deliver a message of hope and education around mental illness. And it came to me to write a play called Pieces in My Own Voice, where it pretty much illustrates what it's like to live with various diagnoses, the stigma around it. And we use music and dance and dialogue to deliver this message. Because I truly believe that arts is a way to really open up someone's heart, whether or not you can make someone cry, laugh, think, social issues, and just using the arts to deliver that message.
Does this play... It obviously includes things that you've experienced firsthand. Does it also include people who you've met through your various groups who have also struggled? Is it a combination of experiences from other people, whether they suffer themselves or who know someone?
Most of the cast live with a mental health disorder. They may have family members that live with a mental health disorder, or they have had family members that completed suicide. So each monologue really comes from a personal space of each. I call them actors, and I don't want to call it a performance. It's more of an outreach, but that's how we really engage the audience because it comes from a personal place within each of our actors.
You have two versions of the show, one for adults and one for children in schools. What messages do you think adults need to hear more than kids do because of the difference of life perspectives?
It's education and understanding that we're talking about a brain disorder as well. It's that education, and that's across the board. And when we have gone into the schools and we talk to youth, and they tell us is that we are so happy that you're here talking to us, but we need for you to talk to our parents as well. Because one example, a youth said that I went to my mom and told her that I was depressed. And her mom said, well, what do you have to be depressed about? Get over it. And so when we talk to the adults is that not only is mental illness is real, but if you have a child that is coming to you with various issues or concerns, be it depression, anxiety, do not just put them off, but come to the realization that if your child had a headache and they had a headache for 2 weeks or maybe a day or 2 days, you would take them to the doctor, correct? So if your child came to you and said, I am experiencing this, not to just kind of shoot them away, but to listen to what they have to say. And this is one of the major messages that we get from youth is just listen to us. You know, just don't dismiss us, but listen to what we have to tell you.
Now, Pastor Lanier, you're part of the collaborative aspect of this play and with Mental Health Day in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And the play is a collaboration of community organization, health system, faith-based organization. You know, it spans across public and private. So where do you fit in personally?
Well, in 2011, I became the pastor of the Progressive Baptist Church. And in 2012, we launched a ministry there to raise awareness and decrease stigma inside the church and outside the church walls. Unfortunately, a place where people often come to get the most help and to be heard is a place where people are sometimes re-stigmatized and traumatized, and that's inside the church, usually out of a lack of knowledge. And so I saw that happening in churches in different places in the city, and so it really vexed my soul because my life experience was that the church is an affirming place, a liberating place, and a place of safety. When we launched that in 2012, Brenda was there. Somebody had connected me to her based on her experience. So it just grew from there. My role, function, gift, I'm kind of the great collaborator and connector. We have a lot of talent in the city, a lot of resources in the city, Brenda Wesley being one, Naomi being another, and so many others, Rogers, and drawing that community together so that we could do the work together and amplify the important message of raising awareness and decreasing stigma. And then also doing it at the Communities College, MATC, where we've got 35,000 students, most diverse college in the state, intersections of all slices of community. So it's a great place to collaborate to provide this message.
You touched upon an important point on how the church sometimes hindered the process of coming out and admitting I have a mental health issue or seeking help. And in addition to outside of church walls, how is the stigma of mental illness perceived in communities of color? And how does this hinder your mission? How are you trying to get your message, you know, not only through this play, but outside of your church walls to people who have this perception?
There was a tragedy some years ago in Milwaukee, maybe 12, 15 years ago. A young boy had autism, and he was at a church, and I presume the church was well-intended. They tried to cast a demon out of him was what they described themselves as doing, so they proceeded to lay over him for hours. It's from an Old Testament narrative, and he ended up suffocating and dying. And I do believe they were probably well-intended, but they were profoundly ill-informed. And so ignorance does a lot of damage. There is a thought that mental illness is a spiritual sickness or possession. And so one of the things I do is I talk about theologically inside the church, the places in the Bible where mental illness is referenced and there is no connection to spiritual illness. It's an illness just like any other illness. That's the main hurdle, is raising awareness and decreasing the stigma. After that, it's connecting people to the resources. And so as the leader of the faith community, I set the tone by what I talk about and what we preach about across the pulpit. And we've seen over the course of 5 years how it has shaped our community differently. And what that's shown me is that we can shape other communities differently by what we talk about and what we make okay to talk about.
When I started my journey 10, 12 years ago, there was no discussion in the community about mental illness. I knocked on various doors saying that we need to have this discussion about trauma. We need to have this discussion about mental illness. We need to have this discussion about drug addiction. And everyone pretty much turned a blind eye toward until I just kept knocking and knocking and knocking. And now with the miracle and working with Pastor Lanier and how I see other agencies and communities starting to grow and have the conversation about mental illness and how real it is and that it's a brain disorder, it just kind of encourages my heart, because many times I can tell you I felt like giving up is that who's listening? No one is listening. And we have been doing this production for 7 years. We started in a closet. We started in small venues, had to knock on many doors, and people just pretty much closed the door. But now people are willing to listen to the message of hope. And that's why I call it, it's a message of hope.
And I know with your son, you both have gone through a lot of struggles, particularly with his treatment and how prison hinders that and how treatment, you know, really didn't recognize his mental illness and made the situation even worse.
Yes, indeed. Our prison systems really are becoming our default mental health hospitals, and individuals are being re-traumatized every day. So when I talk about many times, even with the production, just getting kind of tired and knocking on doors because our theme's really changing, I can see change. I can see us going forward a couple of steps, but then I can see us going back 7 steps. Because even now, my son is in Mendota. I myself, being an advocate and being a mom and all the work that I have done, he should not be in Mendota. So when we open the door, which I think is very important with the production and what Pastor Lanier is doing, when we open the door to the community and say these illnesses are real and you need to seek services, but we have to be assured that the door that we send people through understand themselves. And these are the professionals that we hand our loved ones off, because if we don't have a network of a safety network for individuals and we finally convince them to walk through that door, but they're not getting quality services, they're not getting culturally competent services, they're not getting trauma-informed services, they're not getting person-centered services, then what are we doing? Are we going to have another opportunity to get them back through the door once they are traumatized? And that is something that I see that's happening. I can see a shift, but we have to have a sense of urgency, because I say people don't get a chance to come around this life only but one time. And so to tell someone to wait, things will get better. But what about me? What about my son? His life means something. He wasn't just put on this earth just because. So what are we going to do to make sure that we can offer individuals the best quality services around mental illness?
This play takes place on Mental Health Awareness Day, but what do you, both Brenda and Pastor Lanier, want to emphasize with Mental Health Day, and how do we keep that momentum, that sense of urgency, as you alluded to keep that going past this one specific day?
Good question.
Good question.
We have to be very intentional about driving the momentum, sustaining the momentum, collaborating and engaging the community with excellence. We're in a city that is rich in resources and talent and assets and opportunities, but we engage in a space of mediocrity because we do not work together well. Part of that is our history, a deeply segregated city across racial lines, also economic lines. That's the bad news. The good news is there's rich opportunity, as reflected even in this day. This is not a day that came together with massive resources, but it came together with passion, intentionality, and a spirit of excellence driven by mission. And it's going to bear fruit. And so we will continue to collaborate and continue to move forward if the partners that we have at the table, which are quite a few, faith-based organizations, NAMI, the Behavioral Health Division, and others, AKAs, let me not forget them. I'll hear about them. A couple of law firms, the Lynx, the public library. And so we'll take charge of continuing this collaboration and this partnership in growing it and moving forward and building it, because mental illness affects it. It does not discriminate in any way. Resources certainly do, but the illness itself does not, in every race, creed, color, gender, sexual orientation, country of origin, economic status, has people in their family or them in fact themselves are living with mental illnesses. And we need help, and we need to raise awareness, and we need to be more effective at articulating the resources. And when we do that, we strengthen our community, and we bring a wholeness to the community that's desperately needed.
We have to continue to do that outreach with the service providers. Again, the social workers, the doctors, the case managers, organizations, businesses that are willing to shift their thought process about this illness. And that's even with people that live with drug addiction, is that what does that narrative look like? We use the words like junkies, but are we talking about a disease? So how do we shift people's mindset So they can provide better services around compassion and understanding when we're talking about a biologically based illness.
Pieces in My Own Voice premieres tomorrow at 6:30 at the Milwaukee Area Technical College Cooley Auditorium. It's the culmination of Mental Health Awareness Day, Milwaukee.
Brenda Wesley wrote and directs the play and is also Director of Education and Outreach of the National Alliance of Mental Illness, Greater Milwaukee. Pastor Walter Lanier of the Progressive Baptist Church is the Director of the Men of Color Initiative at MATC. You can find out more at WUWM.com.